Tonight, unfortunately, our live streaming is not happening. We have a technical issue that we have not been able to rectify, so we'll be audio recording only. All ordinary meetings of special meetings and annual general meetings will be live streamed, unfortunately not this time. The visual recording will be published for 12 months and the audio will be retained for 2 years. Other than any official council recording, no video or audio recording proceedings of council meetings shall be permitted without specific approval by resolution of the meeting. The streaming platform used for recording is set up specifically for the Break at 8 Council and has full control of meetings which are streamed or uploaded for viewing. There is no ability for the public to comment, edit or download recording in any way. They can only be viewed via the council link. Participation in a meeting of the council meeting is considered as providing your consent of live streaming and recording of that meeting. So in accordance with the Local Government Act 1993, Regulation 43 and Local Government Meeting Procedure Regulations 2025, the audio files will be published on the council's website for 12 months and be retained for 2 years. The written minutes of a meeting, once confirmed, prevail over the audio recording of the meeting, and a transcript of the recording will not be prepared. So I'd like to open this meeting, welcome everybody who is here tonight, and declare the meeting open at 5 p.m. The meeting is conducted in accordance with the Local Government Act 1993 and the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2025. All councillors are reminded of their obligation to act in the best interest of the community and declare any interested matters to be discussed. We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land in which we work and live, the Palawa people of this land, Tasmania, recognise their continuing connection to the land, skies and waters, and we pay respect to the elders past and present. And ladies and gentlemen, I'd also like to advise you that today's council meeting is being recorded, and that means that members of the public who are unable to attend can still observe the proceedings, and by remaining in this chamber, you're consenting to being filmed and recorded when it's working. Please be mindful of your actions and contributions as they will be visible to the public, and thank you for cooperation. Now, just before I go, I'm going to move this straight over to my Deputy Mayor for 2 minutes. We've got an amazing, unfortunate bushfire happening, and I've got an emergency call I have to take. Christy, would you please take over and then hand it to the General Manager?
Yep.
And I'll be back. I'm sorry, but I have to answer this call.
Thank you. 2022 local government elections, declarations of office.
Yeah, thank you, Deputy Mayor. I wish you all the best. Following the recount, following the resignation of Councillor Janet Drummond, that Councillor Lisa Whittaker has been returned to office, and that Lisa has made the necessary declarations of office as well. So, thank you. That's the formalities for that piece. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, AGM 25.1.0 is attendance. We've got the list of those present there. Any apologies?
Councillor Wright,
do you have an apology? Okay, 25.1.3 is leave absence, which we have none. 25.1.4 is staff in attendance.
Sorry, can I ask, did Ian give an apology as well?
Sorry, and Councillor Carter as well, sorry. I was put off by, there's a council staff member sitting beside you, and I didn't notice. I did a quick head count. Differentiated,
yeah.
So, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Johnson. 25.2.0 is a welcome
and
introduction by Mayor
McTuggle,
which we've had, so I'll hand back to
Mayor. Thank you very much, and I do apologise, but I don't have to move in and out of the meeting. 25.3.1 is the Mayor's report. I'm just going to take that as noted unless anybody has any questions. Can I have somebody move the Mayor's report be received? Councillor Fever, seconded. Councillor Oldman, all in favour?
Carried unanimous, thank you.
25.3.2 is the General Manager's report, which I'll hand over to John.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a couple of things. Obviously, again, the report has been circulated, and what you might actually report within the annual report, I'll talk about some of the projects we've done. There's so many projects that we've undertaken this year, which I could have talked about but please encourage you to read through the annual report, because this gives a bit of an idea of all the hard work which happens through the council team across the whole year. And the other thing I've noted there is, after all, the council team are not just employees of the council, but also members of this community as well. So that's an important thing that sometimes is forgotten. So I'd just like to thank everyone in the team, councillors, employees and volunteers, to serve our communities, creating a better future for those lucky enough to live and visit the beautiful Breaker Bay area. We need to be proud of what has been achieved and what we continue to do. I would also like to acknowledge those people in our community to contact us expressing their appreciation. This is always passed on, as they are really welcome. So thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Can I have somebody move that the General Manager's report be received? Councillor Chappell, seconded.
Councillor Whittaker.
Back on track. Any comments? If not, I'll take it to the vote. All in favour?
Carried unanimous. Thank you.
25.3.4 is the financial statements for 2024-25. Rao, as our Corporate Services Manager, would you like to talk to this, please?
Yes, thanks, Mayor. The report on the financial statements is presented in the agenda for Council and the community to receive a full and transparent understanding of the operating position of Council for the previous financial year. Key points to highlight from the financial statements include the full audit sign-off that's now been received. Council delivered an underlying surplus of $979,000 for the year, which means Council's paying its way and living within its means. Interest income made up a large proportion of the underlying surplus, and we received stronger than expected interest rates on top of all the cash balances. Grant income, though, was lower again this year, but that's purely a timing matter, not due to funding cuts as such. A significant amount of asset revaluations occurred during the year, and asset values increased by $5.3 million through these revaluations. That also increases our depreciation costs ongoing from this point. In relation to our environmental responsibilities, Council has formally recognised the $396,000 rehabilitation obligation for landfill and quarry sites. This ensures we are honestly accounting for future environmental responsibilities, which we need to be. A key factor for last year was a major reduction in our debt. Council reduces interest-bearing debt from $3.6 million down to under $1 million last year. That's a significant achievement for this council. What this means for our community is that we're operating in surplus. We're now holding good cash reserves, carrying very low debt, and accurately recognising our assets and long-term obligations. And that there sums up the financial statements for the 24-25 financial year.
Look, thanks very much for that, Ralph. Can I have somebody move the officer's report? Councillor Fever, seconded Councillor Owen. Is there any questions to Ralph on the report at any time? Okay, well, I'll take that to the vote. All in favour?
Carried unanimous,
thank you. 23.
Sorry, this may well be out of order, but I just want to note in an annual general meeting, is it just the councillors that get to ask questions and vote? I don't understand, I mean, it's a different meeting to a normal meeting, so I know this is out of, I don't know. Anyway, I just want to know.
You're on the to respond to
that because it is different.
Great question there, Councillor Johnson. So in relation to the AGM and voting, everyone gets an opportunity to vote. So anyone who is an elector within the Break Day area, present at the meeting, gets the opportunity to vote, whether members of the public, which are here, councillors, or staff.
Any elector.
Yeah, any elector can do that. So, and we'll take it in terms of just questions, the same thing.
Okay, so when we ask, if you ask for questions about a report, people in the audience,
yes.
For another, you know, here, anyone here can ask a question.
Yeah.
Yes.
Correct? Okay. I just wanted to understand that because I feel like...
It's unusual to have someone in the gallery. It's great to see.
Well, it is the community's AGM, I suppose. Yep.
Right. Thank you. So,
25.3.5
is the annual report and submissions. So, over to you, John.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, it's advertised. It's noted within the report there. There were submissions closing on Monday, the 2nd of December, and there were no submissions in relation to the annual report.
Thank you. Can I somebody move the annual report to receive? Councillor Chappell, second Councillor Whittaker. Any questions of anybody who would like to speak or ask questions of the annual report submissions? I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous.
Thank you.
25.4.0 is questions on notice, which we have nil. 25.5.0 is questions without notice. Do we have any questions without notice by anybody in the room? We have none. 25.6.0, notice of motions, we have none. And 25.7.0 is motions without notice. And we do have three motions.
And Todd, would you like to come forward and speak to your motions and put them forward, please?
There should be four, actually. I think you must have the wrong...
There is four. There is four. If you'd like to move your motions and see if we get a seconder...
Come forward, please.
Come forward, please, Todd.
Join the table.
Yeah.
Do you want me to read them out?
Yes.
It's up to you.
Yeah, okay. I'll
answer reading out. So, if it's just for clarity, we deal with one at a time.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so do with motion number one, please.
Yeah, okay. So, I'll just read what I've sent in, basically. So three separate community surveys conducted in recent times, the Bay of Fries Master Plans, commanded by Morris Structure Plan and the Positive Impact Project, have all indicated that the community considers the natural environment as the municipality's greatest asset. So the first motion is the Brocadet region faces increasing threats from weed invasion and feral animals such as deer, cats and rabbits. Motion is we request Brocadet Council commit to budgeting for a full-time weed officer and full-time animal control officer in order to reflect the critical importance of managing weeds and feral and domestic animals as a key strategy to safeguard our precious natural environment and wildlife.
Okay, do we have a
seconder for that motion?
We have a seconder in the back.
Bill Manning.
Bill Manning, you'd like to speak to that motion, Bill?
Oh, Todd first.
Or Todd, yes, as the mover, sorry.
I think it's fairly self-explanatory.
Bill?
No, I'm fine.
Well, I would add that, especially on the issue of deer, is that is a really emerging threat, whereas obviously things like cats and rabbits have been around for a long time, whereas deer are increasing exponentially, so any efforts that we can increase to try and address that before it gets out of hand would be a good thing.
Thank you. Is anybody who'd like to speak against this motion? If not, I'll take this motion to the vote. All in favour? Carried. There will be a report, Todd, which will come back as all of these motions, just so that you're very clear.
Yeah.
Our council meeting is on Monday and cannot meet the council meeting because the agenda is already done.
Yeah.
So any motions of the past year today will go to the following council meeting in January, and they will be requested for a report to come back to council, just so you're fully aware.
Good. Thanks for that.
Okay. Motion number two.
The status of future potential production forests remains in limbo, so the motion is will Brocadet Council publicly support the protection of the high conservation value of future potential production forests, obviously I mean within the Brocadet area, for the benefit of the community for carbon storage, water catchments including the Scamander and George River, wildlife habitat, threatened species including squid parrot, spotted tailed coral, Tasmanian devil, masked owl and ridge-tailed eagles, scenic beauty, and passive recreation.
Do we have a seconder for that motion? We have a seconder, Rosina Glass. Would you like to speak further to that motion, Tom?
Well, I think basically the future potential reduction forests are land that was
that were going to be protected in 2012, but there was a change of government, and so the areas that have been verified as having national heritage significance, and they're important for the Breaker Bay area for the reasons mentioned, including, I think, more and more water catchments are going to become more and more critical in the future, and there's quite a lot of the future potential production forests that are in the St Helens and Scamander water supply catchments, as well as obviously benefits for mitigating climate change and for threatened flora and fauna and for recreation and scenic beauty. So at the moment those areas are the responsibility of parks, but they don't have any conservation status and they don't have any resources to manage them. So it would be, in our view, a big asset for the Breaker Bay area if those areas were protected.
Thanks, Mark. Roseanne, would you have any comments?
Todd has said it all, and I have nothing further to add.
No worries. Do we have anyone to speak against this? If nobody will speak against it, I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried. Councillor Oldham, are you abstaining or voting? You're abstaining. Thank you. So, Councillor Oldham's abstain. Motion number three.
Thanks. Motion three, illegal land clearing has been recognised as the most recent Tasmanian State of Environment report as a key threat to the environment. So the motion is we request the Breaker Bay Council increase compliance and education efforts to reduce the amount of illegal land clearing in the Breaker Bay municipality.
Thank you. We have a seconder for that motion. Councillor Johnston, would you like to speak further to that, Todd?
In a broader sense, as I mentioned, the State of Environment report has recognised that illegal clearing is a big problem in Tasmania still. And so at a local level within the Breaker Bay area, there seems to have been an increase in people doing clearing before they're applying for development applications or for other reasons. And so the main purpose of the motion is to just identify that there's a problem there and to increase compliance and education efforts. And I note that the council did put a note in its most recent newsletter trying to inform the community that they need to go through the proper channels if they want to live with clear vegetation.
No worries, thanks, Todd.
I'd like to note that I think that the council is wanting to do this, that this should be a motion that we would be very much in support of. Our people that are doing the work to make sure this happens, and doing some education efforts around this sort of activity is, I think, something that the council would welcome.
Do you have anybody want to speak against this? If not, I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. And your fourth one, Todd.
Right. So, I'm referring to the 1995 Breaker Bay Settlement Strategy, which sounds like it's something that's talking about something that was done a long time ago, but actually it's still a really useful document. It's got a lot of relevant information and comments in it. So anyway, in 1995, the Breaker Bay Settlement Strategy stated significantly...
That's $50. It's Christmas, we'll gratefully appreciate it, and you can buy the shop.
Yeah, full stop. I've got to just keep in touch with my household because of the fires, unfortunately. Sorry about that. So, I'll start again. In 1995, the Breaker Bay Settlement Strategy stated significantly altering the coastal environments in the municipality not only affects existing values but also leads to undesirable long-term changes. The intrinsic values of the areas that currently attract people may not persist into the future. That is, the values may be transient if uncontrolled and ad hoc land development occurs. So the motion I've put forward is related to planning controls that will help concentrate development within service settlements and prevent unrelated cluster developments and driven development along the coast. So the motion is that the Breaker Bay Council put the following recommendations to protect scenic and natural values of the Breaker Bay coastline: ban on strata titles and multiple dwellings for tourism accommodation outside of service settlements, reintroduce the prohibition on subdivision within 1 kilometre of the coast outside of settlements to prevent driven development and unrelated cluster development, higher standards for stormwater management than those in the current breakaway stormwater SAP to protect coastal waterways and wetlands, water quality and ecosystems. Establish a comprehensive and effective scenic protection code which preserves the scenic beauty of the Breakaway municipality.
Thank you, Todd. Do we have somebody who second that motion? Rosina? Any further comments, Todd?
I'll just quickly on just go through each one. So with
just that motion.
Yeah, in relation to the motion.
Thank you.
So as far just to explain them in a bit more detail. So as far as strata titles and model dwellings go, our main concern is especially development outside of settlements, where there's especially in the landscape conservation zone, for example, which is supposed to be set aside mainly for environmental values. There's in places like south of Falmouth, for example, there's one block that's got 21 strata title subdivision on it now, which so it's undermining the site coverage and development densities that are in place for residential development. So there's a big discrepancy between the standards for residential development and tourism development. So that's what that item's about, to try and make them more consistent. Obviously, everybody's aware of the previous subdivision prohibition within 1 kilometre that Breakaway Council had for nearly 20 years, which is really effective at preventing ribbon development and house development along the coast. In relation to stormwater management, the current stormwater management requirements in the scheme are mainly either connecting to an existing pipe or the general manager having discretion to approve it as stormwater disposal. So we'd like to see much higher standards. We did develop a hub for the LPS in 2023, a fairly comprehensive alternative to what's in place now. And obviously the scenic beauty of the Breakaway area is one of its main attractions, and it's used regularly by the council and tourism operators and a lot of other people to promote the area. And it's one of the main reasons why people live here or visit here. So we think it's important to have a comprehensive scenic protection code. At the moment, it only applies to 50 metres either side of the main highway, so it's really totally inadequate.
Thank you, Todd. Rosina, would you like to comment?
I don't need to add anything further to that.
No worries. If anyone wants to speak against it, if not, Councillor Faber?
Yes, I don't support in particular point B in relation to the 1 kilometre prohibition. I've been in council 11 years and I've always find that quite mind-boggling how a distance of 1 kilometre is come upon. It should be to do with topography, and the State Planning Commission doesn't acknowledge it anyway, so.
Anyone else would like to speak for this?
Or
can I just...
At the end, you can. Okay. Would you like to speak for this? I'm sorry.
Councillor Johnston?
I support this motion. I think our planning scheme doesn't look properly at tourism accommodation. It's, you know, it sets it aside as though it's not something that is going to have an impact on our land. I think the reintroduction, and I think that may be a little bit of work. I look at this in helping our planners. I think the reintroduction of the 1 kilometre coastline outside of settlements, I think we had that, therefore it's not a lot of work for us to reintroduce it. Higher standards for stormwater management, well, I think that will be a bit of work for us to do, but I think it's really important. And the establishment of a comprehensive, effective scenic protection code, I think the fact that that is why people do come here, it's about the beauty of the place. And there were, in my understanding, we did used to go up to the sort of the ridge, and now we've got this very, very small, 50 metres either side of the road. That's it. So for me, this is something that I really think we should look into and support, understanding that there is work for our staff. I get that, but I think in the long run, if we had did this work, this would provide not only our staff some good direction, but also those of us that are councillors that are put into the planning space. And it's quite difficult for us. These are things that are important to us, but we can't actually use them as planning tools. So, thank you.
Thank you. And Todd, would you like to go?
Yeah, just a couple of quick things just to finish up on that is in relation to Councillor Fever's comment. The 1 kilometre, was obviously, that just reflects the legislation in terms of the state coastal policy.
I'd just like you to wind up, not debate council.
Oh, okay, yeah, I won't debate it, but I would say for the council, in terms of that 1 kilometre subdivision prohibition or similar planning policies, that prescriptive policies are actually a lot cheaper to administer and have create a lot more certainty than performance-based approaches. So it's potentially in the interest of the council to have planning provisions that are actually clear and unambiguous. And the last thing in relation to Councillor Johnston is that with the stormwater too, we have a lot of coastal wetlands that are closed off to the ocean most of the time, so they're very vulnerable to algal blooms if there's increased nutrients going to the system, so having high quality stormwater management is really important.
Thank you. Anyone else would like to speak against this motion? If not, I'm going to take this to the vote. All in favour? Okay, that is carried, and we have two against, Councillor Fever and Councillor Oldham.
So, Todd, that's your
four motions.
Yeah.
Those four, as I stated, there will be reports done, I know, in January. That'll come back
to another meeting.
Yep.
So, just
unfortunately, we missed the agenda for Monday.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you.
Do we have any other motions from anybody who are without notice? We have no other
motions without notice.
I'd like to thank everybody for
being in attendance here today and declare the meeting closed at 5:27. Thank you.
Thank you.
You missed the record by 20 minutes.
Yes. 27 minutes left.
Yeah.